Lee, you got to go now, but we're gonna I know you got to go. We're going to pray for you that you're going to minister to that family and your wife. And I tell you what, I'm going to do it now. Huh? You going to change clothes? You want to wear my shirt?
That would fit better though.
My Lord, I pray that your anointing be on my brother like a mantle. I pray that when he sings, they hear him, hear you. About Beulah Land. It is really a good thing. And as he ministers to his wife, I ask you to show him your favor. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Love you. You ever walk around just looking up, wondering if today's the day that he's going to come back? I tell you, if you're not a believer and all of a sudden you see a pile of blue jeans and a Hawaiian shirt, I'm gone. I'm telling you, I'm happy about that. I'm happy. And some days I'm, you know, not suicidal or not, but I'm ready to go. I'm eager. So I'm telling you, if something happened to me, I want y'all to know I'm happy. Y'all party. Because I'm believing, I'm seeing what I've been believing by faith all these years. And I know. I know. I'm ready for him to come back. Shoot. That's what I won't talk about. I got an outline. All right, guys. Oh, that's loud, but that's all right. I'm real excited about this series that I'm beginning today. At the beginning of this year, we talked about getting physically healthy. And over the next few years, we're going to talk about several areas in our life, about seven of them, that we need to get balanced so that we're less stressful and more peaceful. Don't everybody want to be more peaceful? I want to be more peaceful. You know, we're going to talk about things like we already have: physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, mental. I don't want you guys to miss the one on the mental series, all right? And the vocational. We're going to talk about that. But for this next few weeks, we're going to talk about financial health. Chris McIntyre said, "Did you tell everybody we was going to talk about money?" I said, "No." He said, "Because they wouldn't be here if you had." So next week, we're going to talk about sex and money. All right? That don't sound good paired together. But we're not going to talk about that, but I was hoping y'all would come back. Anyway, because it would be difficult with just me and my wife up here, although I do that a lot during the week, preach to Angie and the kids. But we've gone over physical health, and I see that you guys, a lot of you guys got more energy, you look better, you know, and I know you feel better, but I want to tackle some more areas in our lives. And like I said, I'm real excited about this series because we're going to look at two of my favorite books in the Bible, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. They're both in the Old Testament. They're written by Solomon. And they're written, they're filled with advice about how to get out of debt, how to stay out of debt, and how to prosper. And I can't wait to get there. How to save and how to spend and how to invest. You know, these two books are like financial icons in the Bible. And you may say, "Well, Jim, you're just weird." But the second reason I'm excited about it is because we need financial advice right now. We're in the fourth year of a major recession. And there's lots of folks out of work, and there's so many folks that are down in a poverty level right now. They're upside down in their homes. And but we as a church, I'm really excited about our church, real proud of our church. We've decided not to participate in the recession. And we're going to look at God's word for recovery and not the government. That's what I want to see. That's where we're going to get good guidance. But before we look at Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, I want to look at some laws of financial freedom and fitness. I want to look first at what Jesus Christ said about it. Did you know that Jesus Christ taught more? He talked more about money than he did heaven or hell. You know why? Because we spend more time thinking about it. That's why he talked about it a lot. You know, because so we want to talk about how to get it, how to save it, you know, how to spend it. You know, we think about all of that a lot, how to protect it, you know, and invest it. We think about that a lot. It dominates a lot of our lives. So Jesus Christ has a lot to say about money management. He says that money management is a spiritual discipline. That tells me God is watching how I handle my wealth. He's watching. You know, he's watching so that he can see what to trust me with the true spiritual riches in heaven later on. You know, over half the parables that Jesus told and he taught with dealt with material possessions. So there's lots of material in the Bible that teach us how to control money instead of money controlling us. And so this weekend, before we get into Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, I want to look at seven principles or seven laws in Matthew 25. It's the parable of the talents. And a talent is a measure of money, a weight of gold. And I'll tell you what this is later on, but this is a story of a rich businessman. He was going to be gone for a long time. So he had three servants, and he divided his wealth among them. And then he says, you know, I'll be back to check on you. It's going to be a while, but I'll be back to check on you. And then he leaves. And out of this story, we learn seven principles of the foundation for financial fitness. So if you've ever taken notes, I want you to take them today. I got some blanks I want you to fill in, but let's first read. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 if you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, I've got it in your outline. Matthew 25:14 says, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey. He called his three servants together and entrusted his property to them. Now, I want you to look at that verse and I want you to circle the word his. Just circle the word his. Because I want us to own that and really put it in our mind. His servants and his property. So we're talking about money here. Now, whose money are we talking about? Are we talking about the master's or the servants? Now, the 9 o'clock answered that. We're talking about the master's money. He's giving it to them to take care of. That's called what? Stewardship. It's called stewardship. Being a steward is simply being a manager. So he's saying, hey, you three guys, I want you to be managers of my money while I'm gone. So this is the first law of financial freedom, the law of possession, if you're filling in your blanks, and I hope you are, that everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. What's that mean? It's not my money. It's not my money. You might say, well, I tell you what, Jim, I busted my tail for this. I work for this money. Well, where do you think you got your body from? Where do you think you got your mind, your spirit from, your energy? Everything that you have is a gift from God. Everything that I have is a gift from God. We don't really own anything in life. It's all on loan. I brought nothing into this world, and that's exactly what I'll take out, except for my character. And I hope I'm quite a character. You only get to use it while you're here. It's God's money. Guess what happens to your money after you die? Somebody else gets it. Somebody else gets it. This is important, and I'll tell you why. Because when you forget this and you think it's yours, you worry about it. You worry about it. Worry is the sign that you think it's all yours. Worrying is the sign you think it's all yours. It's not yours. Matthew 25:15 says, to one of the servants, he gave five talents of money. To another, two talents of money. And to another, one talent. Each according to his ability. Then he left on his journey. I want to tell you this day and time what a Roman talent was. Do you know what a Roman talent was in this day and time? Well, you're about to know. A Roman talent in this day and time was 71 pounds of gold. 71 pounds of gold. Now, do you know what gold is right now? In this day and time, gold is about $1,600 an ounce. That tells me that he gave, that one talent was $1.8 million. I'll be the one talent guy. I'm cool with that. You know, the five talent guy, what is that, nine? 9 million. The two talent guy, 3.6. So this is no small deal. This is no small deal. This guy's really trusting his servants, much like God is with me and you. It leads to the second law and the second principle of allocation. God has loaned me money. Write down, God has loaned me money. God has loaned you money. Did you notice in this story that he gave different amounts? You know, one got five, one got two, and one got one. They were not equally wealthy. We're not equally wealthy. We don't have the same economic status even in here. But here's the point. Everybody got something. The point is everybody gets something. There is no talent people in the world. If you're breathing and alive, you are blessed. You're blessed. Verses 16 through 18 says, the man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with the two talents also doubled his money. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and just hid his master's money. I love what the first servant did. What did he do immediately? Put the money to work. A couple things I want you to see here about your wealth and your money. Number one, that money is a tool to be used to work. Money is a tool to be used. We use money and love people. Now, you don't get that reversed. Because if you love money, you're going to use people. And you're treading on dangerous ground. Don't reverse that. Never love money. Because money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's the root of all evil. Money's neutral. Did y'all know that? Money's neutral. It's not good or evil. Because it can be used for selfish-centered things or unselfish centered things. So money's not the evil thing. But we're going to learn in the next few weeks to use our wealth, to use our money for unselfish centered purposes, to put our money to work. Most folks are in debt because of instead of having their money work for them, they work for their money. We need to learn to have our money work for us. We got to reverse it. If you're going to continue to work for your money, you'll always be in debt. Let the money work for you. This was my tweet this morning. I really like the tweet. Money is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. Do y'all get that? wonderful servant, but a terrible master. It's stressful. Money's stressful and controlling when it's your master. Here's the point. You write this down, take it to the bank. You don't get to choose what you've been given, but you choose what to do with it. It's your choice, whether it's five, whether it's two, or one. It's never none. You get to choose what to do with it. And I want to tell you something about what you're doing with it. God is watching. When you get to heaven, you know, God's not going to say, "Well, Jim, why weren't you more like your brother Dave? Or why weren't you more like your dad?" You know why he's not going to say that? Only you. You are responsible for what you've been given. Not just your money, but your time, your abilities. God's not going to compare you to anybody else. You are responsible for what you've been given. God's going to look at Jim and say, "Jim, what did you do with what you've been given?" I want to tell you, you can spend it. You can waste it. You can use it, invest it, hoard it. God lets you choose. But here's the thing. You will have to give an account one day. One day. For the reasons you choose. It's a test. Verse 19 says, "After a long time, the master of the three servants returned to settle his accounts." Which leads us to the third law of financial freedom, accountability. Accountability. One day God will audit me. One day God will audit you. He's going to come and settle accounts. Now, this audit is not going to be done by the IRS. It's going to be done by God. And don't worry about bringing your records. He got them. He's got them. He's got your records. We're going to give an account at the end of the day. It's foolish not to think so. It's just simply foolish. Because God has made an investment in you. What'd you do with all that stuff? He didn't put you on this earth to live for yourself. He didn't put you on this earth to stockpile. He didn't put you on this earth to acquire things. Romans 14:12. This is not Jim that says this. This is Romans. Each of us will give an account to God. Period. But it's, I'll have to say this. It's fun to be irresponsible, isn't it? I remember them teenage on into my 20s. Pretty near in my 30s, if I were to be honest. It's fun to be irresponsible for just a little while. But you can't be irresponsible your entire life. You just can't be. Irresponsibly catches up with you. You know what we call that, Rockmar? The chickens come home to roost. It catches up. Now, I ain't no politician. Don't even believe in them because I just believe politicians can't change people. Only Jesus Christ can change people. But I believe America is in trouble right now because we've suffered from decades of overspending. And we're on the verge of bankruptcy. Each and every one of us. You can't be irresponsible forever. You got to what we call man up and be responsible. It catches up with you. Now I want to look at some of the responses from the three servants. Real quick, 20 and 21 says, "The man who had received five talents brought the other five he had made, $18 million in gold. He said, 'You entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Amen. Look at the second one. Because he got 100% return. The second one said, then the servant with the 2 talents of money also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents, and now I see that I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. 100% return. 100%. I'm going to tell you, you can't beat 100%. Well, I guess you could with 101, but I mean, it's pretty good. Well, the third guy, not such a good story. Not such a good story at all. He didn't use it wisely. Look what he says. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. He buried his talent. He buried his 1 talent and did nothing with it. And then to make things worse, you know what he worse? Did you see what he did? He turned the tables on. He tried to turn the tables on the master. He said, oh, I knew you was a hard man. He blamed him. Did you see that where he blamed his master? This is why I didn't do it, because you've been hard on me. We're doing that today. We are messing up our lives and we want to blame somebody else. We blame the government. We blame our boss. We blame our parents. I'm going to tell you something. You can write this down. God didn't tell you to charge that. God didn't tell you to buy that new vehicle that you couldn't afford. God didn't tell you to buy that house that you couldn't afford. He didn't tell you to go buy those new clothes that you couldn't afford. Can I get an amen on any of it? Proverbs 19:3. I want you to see this. People run. Now, I like the word run, all right? It says, if I were proper, but y'all don't pay me enough to be proper, so I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to say run. People run themselves by their own stupid actions and then blame the Lord. That gets an amen, right? They run. Y'all say run with me. Run. People run themselves by their own stupid actions and then blame the Lord. Do we do that today? We mess up. We screw up and we blame everybody else. Matthew 25:27 says, you should have at least put my money into the bank so I could make some interest. But instead, he dug a hole. He dug a hole. Leads us to the fourth law of financial freedom, which is utilization. It means I must wisely use God's money. I must wisely use God's money. God expects me to use what I got. He don't expect me to hoard it, to sit on it, or to bury it. You know that old saying, to get all I can what I get, and sit on the can. He don't want me to do that. That's not in Proverbs. He wants me to treat money like manure. I was watching Terry and Luke spread that grass yesterday, and I thought, that's just like spread manure. Y'all ever spread manure? The reason why you spread manure is when you spread it, it helps things grow. And that's what you do with money, you spread it. But what happens to manure when you pile it up? It stinks. Period. It just piles up and stinks. But you got to treat money like manure. Don't pile it up. Money's to be used. God expects us to use it and to invest it. But this third guy is cautious. This third guy is conservative. He's thinking, the old saying, nothing ventured, nothing gained. He takes what his master gives him and does nothing with it. He buries it. Does this upset the master? Yeah. Did you hear what he called him? Wicked. Lazy servant. I'm going to tell you about wicked. We usually save that term wicked for child molesters. We save that term wicked for rapists. We save that term wicked for child abusers. This is serious. We don't use the term wicked for money management. But Jesus did. Money management is bad. Money management is a sin. It is wicked. It's serious. Doing nothing, burying it in the ground, doing nothing is inexcusable. You bury your money, you bury your talents, you bury your abilities, and you do nothing. You sit on them. It's wicked. We bury things to forget them. Well, I just won't think about it. I'll ignore the fact that my credit card is maxed out. I'll just ignore it. It'll go away. You can't please God by doing nothing. You know why? Because it's wicked. It's wicked. Wicked. We got to use our money. We got to use our abilities, talent for God. I'm going to tell you something. God would rather you try something and fail than to do nothing. To do nothing. Now this servant, why was this servant, which of these three servants at your first did you think were going to bury his talent? The five, the two, or the one? Or maybe all three. It was the one. You know why? Just like you guys. Maybe me sometimes. You're thinking, well, you know, I ain't got but one. He got five. She got two. They don't need me. I don't have enough talent. So I'll just bury mine. I'll just sit back and watch. I'm not a superstar. You know, I can't do anything. I'm going to tell you, just because you got one talent and other people got five, that don't excuse you. That does not excuse you. You know why? Because God doesn't compare you to anybody else. You're here for more than just you. You know, just because you can't be the best doesn't mean you do nothing. Just because you can't be in the spotlight don't mean you just sit on your tails and not serve. But you say, I got one, they let them do it. They seem to be doing a good job, you know. You know what? You're just burying your talent. You're just burying it. You're just sitting on it. And if you're not living for God's purposes, you're not going to be joyful. You're not going to be peaceful. Don't hide your talent. And you know why we won't go out on a limb with our talent? One word. Fear. F-E-A-R. Which leads us to the fifth law of financial freedom. The law of motivation. I must move against my fears. If I'm going to be successful in life, I got to move past my fears. Move past my fears. I have to do the very thing that I fear the most. I'm going to tell you something, you know. With every talent that you have, there is this corresponding fear that goes along with it. I was telling Sarah this weekend about me and Sarah a lot alike. One of our greatest talents is our mouth. Y'all know that? Could y'all believe that? But guess what one of our greatest pitfalls is? Our mouth. It can be used for evil or it can be used for good. So with each talent, there's a corresponding fear that goes with that. And I've told y'all before, what is one of my biggest fears? Public speaking. I have to overcome that every Sunday, or else I puke on Stacy. Now that wouldn't make anybody happy. There's always a fear. Always a fear. And these principles of overcoming these fears are found in the Bible, and they guarantee you success. Success. But the problem with some of these things that the Bible tells us is they're countercultural. And if you do them, people are going to think you're nuts. They're crazy. They're fanatics. The reason why most people won't and don't get out of debt is because they're unwilling to trust God in these steps. They're afraid to do what the Bible says to do. And so they continue to live week by week and fear and be afraid. But I'm telling you, God says if you'll do these, you'll find blessings. You'll find freedom in life. But we do this in all areas of our life, not just money. I know people in their mind think, if I don't sleep around, I will never find a husband. If I don't do this, I'll never find a spouse. If I don't conform to the world. You know, and if I'll never get out of debt if I don't do these principles. God says these fears will hold you back. Matthew 25, 25 says this. I was afraid. This is the third servant. I was afraid and went out and hid your money in the ground. There's several fears, multiple fears that'll hold you back. Number one, one of the fears that'll hold you back is self-doubt. Do you know what that means? And I've heard it 1,000 times. I could never do that. I could never do that. The second fear that'll hold you back is one of mine, failure. Failure. Did you know that I wouldn't hardly raise my hand in school? Now, I would talk and disrupt the class and do stupid stuff, but I wouldn't raise my hand in school because I thought I'd be wrong. I thought I had the wrong answer and people would laugh, which is the third is self-consciousness. Self-consciousness. Why is that a fear? Well, that is my other biggest fear. Is what will others think? Did you know that I'm not trying to lift myself up? Did you know if I hadn't have overcome that fear, North Point, I wouldn't have been pastor. I was afraid of what others thought. I was afraid that they would laugh. And we can let our fears immobilize us and make us do nothing and bury our talents, hide them, and do nothing. Number four is just another fear. It's self-pity. Well, all that is I failed. I'm never going to do that again. You know what that is? It's dumb. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. So what, you didn't make the team? Try again. It's dumb to get into this self-pity thing. You know who two great examples are of self-pity? Judas and Peter. Judas, you know, Judas narked on Jesus, for lack of a better term. That's the one that comes to me. He got in this party and said, woe is me, I told on Jesus, and now he's leading to his death, and he just hung himself. Look at Peter. Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times, and he was always messing up. Peter was a big mess up. But yet Peter asked for forgiveness. He repented. And Jesus said, on you I'll build my church. On you, Peter, the biggest failure of all, I'll build my church. I like that. The biggest trying to think of an appropriate word. Clown in the disciples was Peter, and he built his church. I like that. I really, really like that. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. So I want to ask you to stick with me for the next few weeks. I can tell you how to get out of debt, but you got to do it God's way. And I want to tell you, fear is always attached. 28:29. Take away the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 talents. He's talking about taking it away from the guy with one. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. For those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. This is the law of application, which means if I don't use it, I lose it. You can't deny this principle. God has a right to take away anything that I don't use for Him. You know what? If I refuse to exercise, I lose muscle, right? Now, if you don't believe me, I'll take my shirt off. I could really show you that. Oh, you want me to take it off? No, you don't want to do that. But if I refuse to use my mind, it dulls. If I don't use it, I lose it. If you don't use your abilities, you're gonna lose them. But if I do use it wisely, God gives me more. He gives me more. And I want to tell you something. I'm a walking testimony to this. North Point Church is a walking testimony to this. I had several people when word got out that we bought the building in 2 acres, and then we bought the 9.5 acres beside us. They said, "Where'd y'all get the money?" They said, "Some rich man give that to y'all." I said, "No." I said, God gives it to us through ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Well, why? I said, "I think He's tested us and found us trustworthy. To be honest with you, I think because He's tested this and He says, I give them a little bit. You know why? I give them more. I'm going to expand their ministry. These guys are wanting to go to Cuba. These guys want to go to Afghanistan. These guys are crazy and going to Belize and Liberia and in St. Elmo and down in the parks and in Cartersville. These guys are nuts. So you know what I'm going to do for them being nuts? I'm going to give them more." And I think he's tested us and found us trustworthy. I just know that whatever you need more of, give it to God. If you need more time, give that to Him. If you need more money, give that to Him. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I'm going to tell you something about sowing too. You ever sowed, have you ever sold a kernel of corn? You didn't get one back, did you? You got several ears. Hundreds of corn. Whatever you sow, it's going to be multiplied 100 times over. You get more than that one back. One last law leads right into that, the law of compensation. God will reward me for good money management. Money is the acid test for faithfulness. God uses it more than anything else. You know why? Because we think about it a lot. We deal with it a lot. So He uses that as an acid test. Look at verse 21. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. come and share your master's happiness. Look at those three rewards. My wife taught me that this is very important, words of affirmation. Well done! Well done! The second thing they got, he got a promotion, man. Who all likes a promotion? He said, well done. I'm going to put you in charge of a lot more. He said, I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Then the third thing was a big celebration. They said they shared in their master's happiness. In their happiness. Can you picture God saying, that's my boy. That's my girl. And they celebrate. Your roles, your responsibilities in heaven will be determined by what you do here. Do you get that? It'll be determined by what you do here. Money is the acid test of how you trust God. Jesus said in his word, if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? That's why we're going to spend so much time on it. We've got to start thinking eternally. I want to tell you guys, you can't serve both God and money. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide. Money is a wonderful servant, but terrible master. This was my Facebook question. If God did an audit on your finances right now, what grade would he give you? An A, B, C, or an F? Wherever you're at, I, as your pastor, want to help you move up a grade. If you're an A, an F, I want you to get into a C. I don't expect you to move from F to an A really quick. If you're an A, I want you to be an A+. I want us to strive to be better. And it will be countercultural. It will be different. Several folks in town just think, have said, verbally said, well, Jim's just crazy as you fill in the blank. They call us abnormal. Well, as my buddy said in his book we just read, Mark Batterson, normal's overrated. Normal's overrated. I want to teach you to be just bleh. Just crazy. I want us to get uncivilized. I want us to be able to, okay, lose our dignity for Jesus Christ. I love what the guy said in the book. The only civilized people in the Gospels were the Pharisees. Can you imagine John the Baptist civilized? Eating grasshoppers? Wearing something kind of fur? I want us to lose it for the Lord. Normal's overrated. It's just overrated. We're going to be countercultural. I don't want us to conform to the world and to its standards. And that's all I got. Can y'all say that with me? Normal is overrated. All right. I just want to get uncivilized. All right? I don't want to be a Pharisee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your lessons and how much you care about every area of our life. Whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's relational. Lord, help us learn. Help me learn. Help me teach. We love you so much. We think you're absolutely the greatest. And it's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen.